Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. I'm Jim Galante, I'm with Ross Tucker, and it's time for Ask Ross, brought to you by DraftKings. With the season in full swing, the action still unfolding, so you need to head over to the DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. So many storylines across both pro and college sports. This is the time to check out all that DraftKings Sportsbook has to offer. If you haven't tried the app yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. To celebrate Sunday's action, DraftKings is ensuring all new users are covered up to $100. That's right. You bet they cover you with risk-free Sunday betting. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Make sure to use promo code KSN when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is insuring your Sunday bets up to $100. That's right, you bet. They cover you up to $100 when you use promo code KSN during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Risk-free coverage paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. That means it's time to ask Ross. And Ross, are you ready for the questions?
I am, yes. Let's do it.
All right. First of all, you're a smart guy, Ivy League graduate, six is something. That's a sextuple?
Yes.
All right. You know how we occasionally do our double questions? I am going to do a set of sextuple, six of them, on one topic that I'm going to merge as one, and that's on the offensive line. Everyone is asking about the struggles. Lou asked it, is it inherent with the RPO offense they run? Brad from Dearborn Heights, Michigan says, is what I saw transpire on Saturday night just more reason for concern about our offensive line, or is Ohio State's defensive front simply that good? Kurt from Orfield, why couldn't they open more holes for our running backs and provide more time for Clifford? Are they struggling with learning new techniques from a new coach? Jerry said disappointed. Jerry from Philadelphia, disappointed in the O-line, no push whatsoever. They were overpowered. Brad from Perkasy, with you being an offensive line guy through two games, our offensive line, is it better or worse? And Joe from the Skook says, Ross, when you watch CJ Thorpe block, do you get physically ill? There you go. Six questions about the offensive line, Ross.
So there's a lot here, Jim, and you and I were talking about it during the break as well. I guess here's where I will start. I thought that it was the most disappointing performance by Penn State in general against Ohio State since, geez, I don't even know, Jim. 2015? How'd the game go the year before they beat him in the whiteout? 2015. How'd that go? I can't remember, but
too old to remember the years and so on. But the bottom line is they've played them well over the last several years.
Right. And weren't able to come through a number of times when they really should have won. You know, 17 and 18, they had golden opportunities. But I guess what is most surprising to me is that this was the least competitive I felt like Penn State was in this game in years. And I thought it would be the opposite. I actually thought, you know, before Journey Brown and before Micah Parsons, I actually thought this was the year that Penn State was going to beat Ohio State. You know, home game, whiteout. Obviously, they didn't have that, which was disappointing. But I thought home game, whiteout. They've got the talent. They've got the depth. This is the year. They've got the returning quarterback. And yet it was the opposite. And we can talk about COVID and all these different things, Jim, but Ohio State has to deal with that too. I think the difference, if you want to point to something, is that Penn State has new offensive and defensive line coaches. And that was one of the things that stood out to me about the game. This is the worst they've performed up front against Ohio State in at least 5 years. And I actually thought after last year and seeing what Penn State had coming back this year, I thought this year was the year that Penn State might be better than them up front, or certainly able to go toe-to-toe. And that was not the case at all. They were very disappointing. They got dominated up front, really both sides of the ball. And what's puzzling is, for Penn State, it's a lot of the same guys that were back. For Ohio State, it was a lot of new guys. Now, they had some offensive linemen back for sure, Myers and Wyatt Davis. But for Ohio State, some of the D linemen, they were new, Jim, and they're good. I mean, they're new, but they're good, and they were beating Penn State's butt up front. So no matter what I would try to put out there, it's not acceptable. It's not okay. It's surprising. It's disappointing. It's all those things, right? All of those things. But I also think the only thing I can try to put my finger on, right, is the new coaches and new techniques. And if you remember, Jim, I've been talking about that for quite some time, that was a concern, a major concern of mine regarding some of the new techniques that these guys would have. But I got to tell you, Jim, even if they're learning new techniques, or even if Phil Troutwine and Scott had these guys doing, it still doesn't really, it shouldn't have been that bad. It shouldn't have been that much of a difference. I was kind of stunned. I was really not expecting that at all, that they would get that thoroughly dominated up front, both sides of the ball. I would say the O-line and D-line let them down in that game as much as any position group, and I was not expecting that. I kind of felt like this was the year that Penn State would be able to do it up front, and they certainly took a step back. There is no question.
All right, I'm going to take my turn on questions for you, Ross. There was definitely no running game to speak of, and Penn State uses this read option where, and correct me if I'm wrong, they essentially leave the defensive end unblocked, and it's up to he's got to make a choice, theoretically, between the quarterback and the running back, and the quarterback makes his decision based on what that defensive end does. There were plays where that guy came in and blew up the play, and I don't think it had anything to do with the offensive line. Am I reading that correctly? So is there something with this read option running game?
Well, you're right. Part of it was also at times Ohio State did a really good job attacking it, and Penn State didn't do a great job of reading it quickly as well. I'm not ready to give up on them yet, but I also don't think the running backs, you know, got as many yards as they could have at times. I mean, it was, you know, didn't I start the last segment saying I was going to be positive and optimistic?
Yes, you did.
And I'm a happy person, but it was bad. I mean, it's hard to, when it's that bad, it's hard to put it on any one thing. It was all of it. It was scheme. It was the running backs are a little disappointing. The offensive line certainly disappointing. And it felt like they being Ohio State, had a terrific plan, especially for the zone read stuff.
They did defend it very well. All right, let's move to a Double question, which is on the defensive backs. Joe from Ebensburg said, "Hey guys, love the show. Thanks for taking our questions. Ross, as much as I want to like Brent Pry, Terry Smith, and Tim Banks, they just don't seem to be getting it done. Seemed like almost every pass completed by Justin Fields was to a wide open receiver. They got lost in coverage." And Nick from Berwick says, why is it that other teams' receivers are always wide open and we struggle to get separation? Is it a talent issue or a scheme that Penn State plays?" Let's attack it from the defensive side, Ross. Justin Fields is great, but a lot of Ohio State receivers were running free.
They were, and I do think that Ohio State has some good receivers. I mean, Olave, Garrett Wilson, those guys are good players, but that does seem to be a trend over the last couple of years that you see the other team have some wide open receivers and Penn State really doesn't as much. You know, KJ Hamler, every once in a while, it seemed like he was wide open. It's tough. It's too early of a sample size to say that it's the receivers versus it's Kirk Shiraka's scheme, but Ryan Day is a good coach. Ryan Day's receivers get open. They got a good combination of a really good coach and good talent. I think Penn State has a new coach in Kirk Shiraka, and their receivers clearly aren't as good. Although Dotson, I said this last quarter, last segment, Dotson, that was about as good as I've ever seen a Penn State receiver play, some of the plays he made. But yeah, I mean, I, going back to the defensive backs, I actually felt like Castro Fields and Joey Porter did some really good things against Indiana. And I thought there was a chance that this was the best secondary that Penn State's had in a while. I mean, I'm trying to be nice here.
Could I interrupt you for a second? Yeah, okay. Ahead. And maybe you were headed to the same place, but I wanted to get this in. Many fans are looking at Lamont Wade. He's been the target. How bad or good was he? What did you see from him?
Yeah, he's not good in coverage. Now, in fairness to him, okay, playing the nickel corner, the slot, that's a really tough position. Really tough position. But he's undersized. He lacks speed. He doesn't have exceptional quickness. I mean, I think he's poorly suited to be playing that position, and I think teams are taking advantage of him.
All right, that is it for Ask Ross. Stick around in quarter number four. Andy and Bob are going to be back to join us for a Maryland preview. Stick around.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiast, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com and use code KSN at checkout. The season is in full swing. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up to ensure your Sunday bets up to $100. That's right. You bet and they cover up to $100 when you use code KSN during sign-up. For a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Risk-free coverage paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.